Hello and welcome to the Capgemini podcast. My name's Gary Taylor. I'm part of Capgemini's cloud infrastructure services team, working on workspace services for projects and consulting. Today, we are continuing our series on Windows Virtual Desktop with part two of our podcast. I'm delighted today to be joined by both James Shaw and James O'Regan from iGel. Hello, gentlemen.
Morning, Gary.
Hi, Gary.
So, James S., I mean, obviously the current climate, organisations are looking to save money wherever they can. Adding iGel to a solution, is that adding cost or why would they want to do that?
I would say it was exactly the opposite, actually, Gary. We find customers are choosing or selecting iGel and a Linux-based operating system for the endpoint for a variety of reasons, and they really fall into a combination of three categories. One is saving money, which I'll come back to in a moment to answer your question. In addition to that, organizations are looking to, as James touched on there, increase or extend the security aspect of, you know, they've implementing a cloud workspace such as Windows Virtual Desktop from Microsoft, which obviously delivers a whole host of different security capabilities, and they want to extend that out to the endpoint. So security is very much at the for a number of customers is very high priority. The third area is the ease of being able to deploy and manage the solution. So, you know, going back to your specific question about saving money, I think most of our customers that we see save money in a couple of ways. And James touched on one of the key aspects, which is that ability to deploy the iGel OS on existing hardware. And I think he mentioned, I think we were in the same conversation with regards to the you know, customers that we know have laptops and desktops from 10 years old. As Microsoft deliver things such as Windows Virtual Desktop, as Citrix deliver and other companies deliver solutions, customers are finding that their existing endpoint technology, whether that be desktops, whether that be laptops, existing thin clients, have aged and do not have the capacity with their existing operating system to take advantage of all of the benefits of these new cloud workspaces that we're seeing in the market today. And so for a number of organizations in that case, they also have to think about the costs of refreshing their endpoint technology. You know, that is a cost that iGel can certainly help with, because as we said, you know, in most cases, as long as it's an x86 with minimum requirements, and as James said, you know, desktops, laptops going back many years, you can deploy either a full conversion or a temporary conversion. You can deploy the iGel OS onto that existing hardware, so you can extend the life of the hardware. As James says, there's an environmental aspect on that as well, and you know, you can delay or negate the need for that desktop refresh and access all the latest and greatest security and functionality from those cloud workspaces by just converting the operating system on the endpoints itself.
So I'm kind of assuming that the COVID-19 pandemic has probably affected the demand for the iGel solutions as well, then, is it?
Yes, it has. And I mean, it's, as I say, in two ways. And the COVID one is a really interesting way as well. I mean, before we got to COVID, before we got to 2020, iGel was experiencing fantastic growth as companies started to look at cloud workspaces and the ability to run the lightweight Linux-based OS for accessing those environments. It was quite interesting at the time of COVID really hitting the world in sort of at the end of, you know, sort of in March timeframe. I think organizations really started to look at how they had to deploy rapidly, and in some cases, you know, in emergency situations for a number of people that needed to suddenly work remotely from the office. And that took various different ways of being able to do that, right from, you know, sending people home with their existing desktop systems literally in the boot of their cars to deploying more and more cloud virtualization technologies, right the way through to the huge demand you saw on new devices and new endpoints as well. And I think, you know, from that dealt with that immediate rush. And if you look at the analysts in this market, they saw a suddenly huge spike of people wanting and needing the ability to work from home. And in some cases, it was as simple as just allowing people to access through their existing home devices, through web access, through a VPN. But over time, what we've seen is that, unfortunately, you know, there are many, many groups out there that they're looking at cyber attacks, and there's many, many reports out there that organizations are receiving huge amounts of new and refreshed cyber attacks on those home workers, whether that be in the way of phishing emails, spam emails. There really has been a target. I was talking to an organization, only a mid-sized organization of about 300 to 400 employees, and they were telling me that the rate of cyber attacks pretty much directed towards the endpoints, taking advantage of the number of home workers, was running into thousands per day. So as we move forward from this sort of peak period, and as we move into an area where organizations are really looking to structure the way that they organize their remote workers moving forward, I think, you know, we are talking to a number of different customers that want to add that level of security for their home users, and more importantly, want to manage those end users. And that's where we're seeing not only the increase in security and the increase in manageability of the endpoint, but the second part of that sort of saving of money. You know, in the past, IT organizations had to ensure that the operating system was continually secure, patched, updates, and that could work out a ratio of, you know, one support person supporting anything from between 250 to 500 endpoints as a ratio of support desk. We have customers that are supporting thousands, tens of thousands of endpoints remotely through the management software that James mentioned. And so, you know, the reduction on support calls, the reduction on support required, and you can redeploy those IT people to look at other areas, has really made a huge impact with a number of our customers.
Interesting. So James O, final question for yourself. What do you think the future holds for Windows Virtual Desktop?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I suppose the first component of that would be maturity as a solution. I think, you know, you're going to see a massive uptake in terms of WVD in 2021. I think we obviously, with the pandemic, we have seen a large increase, but I think there's still a level of apprehension within enterprise about WVD, and I think as the solution matures, we're going to see it becoming more of a the standard going forward, whether that be straight up WVD or obviously, you know, Citrix Cloud running on top of WVD or VMware Horizon running on WVD. So, you know, it's definitely around the maturity. I think you may see the way it's delivered change slightly, you know, and it become more like a SaaS solution as opposed to where we are at the moment. So those are kind of the aspects. And then from our own perspective, obviously, we continue to work with Microsoft on enhancing solution. And, you know, I can only see our client getting better and better. And, you know, as Microsoft implement more features within WVD, then we will mirror those features within iGEL. And, you know, as James has touched on, the big thing is around, you know, the security, the endpoint in, as part of this thing, the pandemic, you know, we've, you know, companies went, looked at any way they could to get devices out there. And now what they're seeing is, wow, I have no idea what this user is using at home. This could be a major problem. So, you know, it's all about, I think, you know, WVD in any cloud solution is all about flexibility. And I think that's what we've seen with the pandemic is, you know, we are able to work in any kind of location. You know, from our own point of view, as I said, I touched on our UMS, but a major component of that is our cloud gateway. And that is an amazing piece of technology that allows you to manage the endpoints which are not on your LAN. So, you know, if it doesn't matter where people are working, you can extend the capabilities of our UMS service via our cloud gateway. And, you know, that's what I see kind of with WVD is it basically to become more commonplace as a solution and to really increase its market share as the years progress.
Perfect. Okay. Well, I mean, it certainly sounds like iGEL is a real enabler for Windows Virtual Desktop. So very interesting. So, well, thank you both for joining me today. It's a really interesting conversation that we've had on a really interesting subject, and it was a true pleasure chatting to you both today. Thank you. So you can subscribe to the Capgemini podcast on all the usual podcast sites, and I just want to take some time to thank you for joining us on this call today, and I hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
This is Designing Momentum, a podcast from Capgemini. Designing Momentum is a show about what it takes to build and maintain momentum in business. When the odds are against you, how do you forge your own path? Original ideas very rarely come from looking in the same places you always look. So in this show, we'll be turning the spotlight in a different direction that you wouldn't necessarily think to look. Hosted by me, Frank Wammers, and with the help of Rachel Burford, International Women's Rugby World Cup winner, and experts in emerging technology in sport, we'll be exploring why what goes on in a boardroom isn't so different to what happens on the pitch. Make sure you subscribe now in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts.